Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Indus Infra Trust Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinion, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, the Chief Executive Officer of the Investment Manager. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you, Danish, and very good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Indus Infra Trust, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. This marks our first earnings call in FY27, covering the performance of Q4 FY26. A key highlight during the quarter was the continued progress in expanding the trust's asset portfolio. In March 2026, we acquired 100% shareholding in three HAM assets from GR Infra Projects, namely GR Ennakem Expressway Private Limited, GR Ujjain-Bidnaur Highway Private Limited, and GR Bilaspur-Urgaon Highway Private Limited. These acquisitions are aligned with our core investment strategy of adding yield-accretive assets with stable cash flows, while also extending the overall asset life of the trust and enhancing long-term distribution visibility for our unit holders. With these additions, now the total number of assets has increased to 13, with an AUM of over 9,400 crores. As many of you are aware, we had signed an SPA in December 2025 to acquire four HAM assets from Kenna Constructions. We are targeting completion of these acquisitions at the earliest, preferably within this quarter itself, subject to fulfillment of all CPs. As of March 31, 2026, the trust asset had an average residual life of approximately 11.34 years. The outstanding annuities across project SPVs stood at 10,695 crores, with 87 out of 390 annuities received on time during the period. Moving on to distributions, the board of directors of the investment manager in its meeting held yesterday declared a DPU of ₹3.5 per unit for Q4 FY26. This comprises interest of ₹1.01, which is ₹1.01 per unit, and return of capital of 2.49, which is ₹2.49 per unit. The record date for the distribution is May 5, 2026. Including this, our cumulative DPU since listing stands at ₹27.77 per unit. For FY26, total DPUs amounts to ₹13.5 per unit, exceeding our initial guidance of ₹12.5 per unit. The total distributions for the year aggregates to ₹597.97 crores. We reaffirm our commitment to meeting our stated guidance going forward too. Moving to industry side, the operating environment for the road infrastructure in India remains structurally strong. Execution under Bharatmala Pariyojana continues to progress steadily, with over 26,000 kilometers awarded and more than 21,700 kilometers already completed. This reflects sustained momentum in highway development and corridor modernization. With new project sanctions, the sector appears to be entering a more mature phase, focusing on optimization and selective expansion of strategic corridors. For a platform like ours, this shift is constructive as it increases emphasis on operating assets, monetization opportunities, and long-duration yield visibility. The Ministry of Road Transport and Highways continues to be a major beneficiary of the government's CapEx program, with an allocation of approximately 2.94 lakh crores. This reinforces the long-term expansion and modernization of the national highway network. During the quarter, several strategic projects were approved, including greenfield connectivity corridor linking Jewar International Airport with Delhi-Mumbai Express ecosystem for almost 3,630 crores, and the four-lane access control of NH-927, which is Barabanki to Bairaj corridor in UP for almost 6,970 crores. Additionally, the NMP 2.0 outlines the road monetization pipeline of exceeding 4 lakh crores, 4.14 lakh crores to be precise, which is a strong positive for road investors. At a broader level, InvITs are playing an increasingly important role in India's infrastructure financing ecosystem. This is enhancing investors' participation and enabling efficient capital recycling, thereby strengthening the overall market environment. The resilience of our annuity-based asset base, combined with a supportive policy landscape and a robust pipeline of monetizable assets, provides a strong foundation for long-term growth. Our focus remains firmly on capital protection, delivering stable and predictable distributions, and creating long-term value for our unitholders through our disciplined capital allocation, calibrated growth, and strong governance. Now, without taking much of your time, I'll now hand it over to Harshil, who will take you through the financial details before we open up for the questions. Thank you, and over to you, Harshil.
Thanks, Amit. Coming to Q4 FY26 performance on a standalone basis, the interest income on the loan extended by the trust to the SPVs was rupees 195.03 crores, as against rupees 187.41 crores in the last quarter. The increase in interest income was on account of additional debt on-lend to the SPV acquired in the December quarter, that is GR Bahadurganj Jararia, amounting to 547.73 crores of debt on-lend to this SPV. The increase in the interest income because of this additional debt on-lend has been partially offset by the debt repayment made by the existing SPV in the December quarter and during this quarter. As SPVs have upstreamed cash flows to the trust in the form of interest and repayment, no dividend income was received during the quarter from the SPVs. Further, EBITDA, excluding for impairment for the quarter, was 183.72 crores. The impairment is on account of the difference in the fair value and book value of the investments. The total external borrowing at the trust level as on 31st March 2026 stands at 3,688 crores, as against rupees 2,425 crores during the last quarter. During the quarter, the trust availed additional borrowing of around 1,326 crores to refinance the external debt and the unsecured debt in the SPVs. Accordingly, the finance cost during the quarter increased to 42.47 crores from rupees 39.87 crores. The tax outflow is on the other income earned by the trust at the rate of 42.744%. Profit for the quarter stood at 75.93 crores. During the quarter, as Amit mentioned earlier, we had completed the acquisition of 3 SPVs at an enterprise value of 2,639 crores. Further, we have done the refinancing of external debt in one of the SPVs, that is GR Enakim. As on 31st March 2026, in the balance 2 SPVs, there is an outstanding debt of 914.65 crores. Coming to financial year 2026 on a standalone basis, the total income stood at 797.40 crores for the entire year, with an EBITDA excluding impairment of 757.65 crores. As compared to FY25, the fall is in revenues on account of lower dividend upstream by the SPVs. As in the first year of operations post listing, dividend distributed by the SPVs was higher on account of release of encumbered cash by the SPVs. The finance cost during the period was 158.18 crores, which is on account of increased borrowing from 1,750 crores in FY25 to 3,688 crores in FY26, which has also been partially offset on account of the reduction in the borrowing cost, which are linked to repo rate. Out of the above borrowings, the trust has availed 1,326 crores during the last week of March. Hence, the entire impact of the additional borrowing is not getting captured in the finance cost for this financial year. Coming to the consolidated financials, during the quarter, the total income was 208.12 crores, which consists of revenue from operation of 187.94 crores and other income of around 20.18 crores. The revenue from operation includes finance income of 156 crores as against 135.61 crores during the last quarter. The revenue from contracts, that is our COS, O&M, utility and claims for the quarter stood at 31.59 crores, which included a prior period expenses and COS payment of around 11.55 crores. The total expense for the quarter was 105.03 crores. Post adjusting for the tax liabilities, the PAT for the period was 106.28 crores. The total external borrowing, including the borrowing at the SPV level, on a consolidated basis stood at 4,602.88 crores. In relation to the NDCF, cash flow from operations of the SPVs and other income at the, and including the other income, the total cash flow was 486.87 crores. Considering the release of reserve in the finance cost at the SPV level, the total SPV level NDCF was 662.58 crores, which was upstream to the trust. Post adjusting for financing cost, DSRA reserve, trust level expenses, which has been given on the slide 10 of the presentation, the NDCF for the quarter works out to 161.33 crores, out of which 155.03 crores is proposed to be distributed, resulting in a distribution of 3.50 per unit. The form of distribution is 1.01 rupees per unit in the form of interest and 2.49 rupees per unit in the form of repayment. As mentioned earlier, the record date for the distribution is May 3rd, 2026. Thank you, and we are open to questions now.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, may press star and one. Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Deep Vakil from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Deep, you are. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a very good set of distribution and NDCF and broadly the results. I understand, sir, we don't give a guidance, but initially for full year, would you give some guidance that 12.5 was the guidance that we had guided for FY26 and we have exceeded by 1 rupees. So any broad guidance, sir, for FY27, the DPU part?
Yeah, Deep, so we can give guidance, and the guidance for FY27 is going to be almost 14 rupees, because this is on the back of new asset which we are going to acquire, which will happen of course during the maybe Q1 and Q2, and the annuities will start flowing second half onwards. So I think the 14 rupees is something which will be a minimum guidance for FY27.
Okay. And sir, any form of any split that you would like to guide between capital repayment and interest?
So ballpark, it's going to be around, say, 55 to 60% will be interest, and around 40 odd percent will be capital repayment, and around maybe ballpark 5 to 8% is going to be dividend.
Okay. And sir, any specific instance that there 70% of current quarter distribution is repayment of capital. So any specific thoughts around that? I understand, you have mentioned earlier that, depends on the life of the asset and the cash flow pertaining to that. But any specific things, sir, in Q4?
No, so I think it's, on a periodic basis, we keep evaluating what's the profile in terms of the debt which is extended by InvIT to SPVs. And we have, of course, also believe in that, that debt also should be basically paid. And as and when, when we need, some capital to use for any, to fund our growth, InvIT always have a right to call upon, some kind of repayment, and that payment can be used for, to fuel the further growth. I think same thing happened in Q4. So I think the same way, you have to just keep monitoring how the cash flows are. And the debt which is extended by InvIT to SPV should be repaid on time.
Got it. And sir, any, I mean, AUM guidance for 27, I understand, I mean, you have given in prior years, but that stays intact, and in accordance with that, any fundraising plans in near term?
Yeah, so of course, the way I think, you know, we have signed SPA with KNR and one situation where we are, you know, looking at signing SPA in this quarter. And of course, the ROFO assets, what we have is year, maybe 5 to 6 that ROFO assets, which we intend to acquire in this year. I think we should be able to add on an incremental basis around 8 to 8,500 crores of AUM this year. And that's what we have. Anything, suppose, which we do during the year will be over and above this.
Okay. Probably 18,000 crores of AUM by next, I mean, year end.
Yeah, you can add maybe 8,000 on numbers what we have. So somewhere between 17.5 to 18. Yeah.
Got it. And sir, I mean, the fundraising, any near-term plans? Because I think...
Yeah, so if you see, I think maybe Harshil would have touched upon there in the presentation also. So on the gross level, we are already at 47-48% of our AUM, right? That means any incremental acquisition, we can, while we can use our available threshold of debt, but we have to raise, you know, equity. And I think this year we may do that, maybe one or two tranches. So to fund this around 8 to 8.5 or maybe 9,000 crores of the AUM, we'll have to raise, you know, say equity, and that is going to be say around, if you take around 40-45% of that, that should be somewhere around say 3,800 to 4,000 crores. That kind of equity raise we are looking to do in this fiscal itself.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on a good performance. So sir, first thing is that this 14 rupees is what you think is a conservative guidance. Is that the right understanding, sir?
See, I don't know what is conservatism, but yeah, I think you would have seen our conduct in the last 2 years. So I'll leave it up to you to ascribe it.
No, I mean, since you are also planning to almost double the AUM base in FY27, so are you also taking into account, you know, some of the benefits that might occur because of that?
So if you see, Sarvesh, as I said, this AUM addition won't happen at one shot. This will happen over the year. So maybe 4 to 5 assets will be acquired since, say, fag end of this, which will be, you know, Q4. Q4 also fagged. So I basically, as an invit, we won't accrue any benefit from acquisition of those assets, you know, in this fiscal. So what basically what, you know, guidance we are giving, predominantly that what we will do, say, end up doing in Q1 and Q2. So, and those annuities will start flowing in, say, Q2 onwards. So that's why, you know, basically the guidance will be that whatever we acquire. So you can see an AUM addition of a decent number, but a decent part of that will get added in the packet. So we won't have much accrual coming from those.
So maybe basically we can maintain this 3.5 rupees run rate, and maybe in Q3 or Q4 we can see some benefits also flowing because of the additional acquisitions.
No, Q4, Q4, you know, what's also happening is, as I said, Q4, this asset acquisition or additions will happen towards the fag end. So I won't have much basically cash flow to distribute. But yeah, the asset acquisition which will happen over the Q1 and Q2, that will contribute towards the, you know, my overall distribution. Also, I think you would have seen our asset profile. So, 2-3 of our assets have already, you know, received 11-12 annuities. Now, those assets are due for major maintenance. So, 2 of our assets are going, will be undergoing major maintenance for this year, which were the Phagwada, Rupnagar and Baransi Sangam. and these are, you know, this will take a measurement. So when we give guidance, we of course ensure that whatever we say, irrespective of, you know, any major maintenance activity which gets undertaken, the guidance doesn't change. So that's why I said that a minimum of 14 rupees should be, you know, we should be able to distribute for the year.
Okay. And, you know, just harping on the previous caller's point, so last two quarters, we have seen abnormally high capital repayment. And you said that maybe this year we should assume that to be like 40-odd% of the DPU. But how do you see that in the, you know, medium to long term? Like, normally, what should be the breakup? Because this breakup has undergone a lot of changes when it comes to your InvIT.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in the start of the InvIT, when we had acquired assets from GR, those seven assets you see, that time we had a lot of cash, right? And of course, those cash, were, you know, they were in form of, you know, different reserves. And as and when, you know, basically we got lenders' approval and those reserves got released, right? We distributed that in the form of dividend. But eventually what happens is that I think you must be aware, right, as with companies, like, unless you are net worth positive, you can declare dividend, after that you can't. So once, and of course, you know, this, incremental borrowing, which InvIT extended to the SPVs, of course, the cost of, debt also went high. So because of that, you know, SPVs didn't leave much with the profitability. So we started. So that's why you would have seen a flow. Initially, we gave more dividend. Then all those, you know, post that, we started giving, very lesser dividend, more interest, and a very few, you know, very less amount of capital. And now you're, seeing it from a, you know, interest, from dividend to interest and to capital. Capital, as you said, you know, InvIT keep raising at the InvIT level, right? And they keep extending to SPV. So from a InvIT perspective, those repayment also has to happen. So if you're not living with much cash, say, at the SPV's book, of course, you will see a lesser dividend going forward and a higher interest, because of course, InvIT is extending, you know, extending big amount of debt to SPV. So that will in turn, you know, you'll get, InvIT will get a lot of interest from SPVs. And then, maybe very lesser amount of maybe somewhere 5%-10%, you can say, as a dividend, and ballpark around 30%-35% of the capital repayment. That is going to be the most likely profile. Until unless again, you
can continue, you have, you know, even beyond FY27.
Yeah. I said that is going to be most likely, because until unless we acquire some asset again, where there's a lot of cash and that is distributed in form of dividend.
Understood. And this 8,000 to 8,500 crore, so this is broadly KNR plus GROFO, right? This is not including any more third party assets.
This is including one more third party. So 5 third party and 5 to 6 GR.
Okay. Okay. And broadly, like you alluded to, since you're also going to be raising funds for these, so the mechanism that we have in place for funding these is basically 40-50% equity, 40%, 40% remaining as debt, going forward.
Yeah, that is what we see, around 40-42% of equity and around, say, 55-60%.
And why don't you want to go to the limit of 70-odd%?
No, we always want to have, see, that's a completely, you know, choice an investment manager wants to have, because when, you know, whenever suppose you do a fundraise, you should have some cash ready, war chest ready for the acquisition, that during the year, if you get something, you should not that, and I again have to go and raise the equity, or I can do the debt. Because if you take it to 70%, of course, rating agencies or maybe, you know, the lenders, they are not comfortable taking you to stretching to 70. So they also have you to have your internal threshold, which you have not crossed. So that threshold is, say, for example, 90% of 70, which is 63, or say, was 65. And I'm talking, say, 57-58%. So it's just a 6-8%, you know, threshold which is available. And we always, as investor manager, want to have some war chest ready, so that if any immediate opportunity comes, right, it's not that at first I'm running for equity raise and then I'm doing the acquisition. So that an option we want to have, I think that's the basically you can say approach we have been since day zero when we started, and I think we are seeing a decent benefit for that, so we'd want to continue that way.
Okay. Now, coming to the acquisition, you know, market itself, so how do you see this market shaping up right now? Because, see, you know, there are more and more private and public InvITs which are being formed. And hence, there is a lot of investor capital also which is coming into this sector. Against that, what we have also seen is, you know, road development per se hasn't been growing as such, right? The construction per day, etc., those metrics have been coming down. The new projects are not being given out. So, you know, don't you think that this supply demand of roads assets, and also because, you know, many of the large developers are flush with own cash, they have very good balance sheets. So then, you know, is this an environment where, you know, one can find good acquisition opportunities because of this?
Okay, so maybe I'll take your question, and I'd want to answer in this question in three parts. First thing is, of course, I'm not ruling out the scenario that there's an issue of having good CHAM assets in the market. Of course, but at the same time, you see, as you said, all the large developers are flush with cash and all liquidity. But most of the developers either did their own InvIT or they monetized the cash. Because, you know, while they are sitting on the cash, next opportunity is also for that. They need cash, and I think nobody wants to have, you know, sitting on something which can give them cash, and they would want to put those cash back into their business where they can get an higher ROE than what, you know, they would be selling these assets to either InvITs or all to the funds. At the same time, if you see, you know, like what I said, that if the next NMP program, which is almost more than 4 lakh crores, so I think we see opportunity for everyone to grow and exist in this market, because there are, like, as you said, so a lot of InvITs are coming and everybody is acquiring assets, right? That means there is a supply. Point to note is that whether the supply is having a decent quality or not. So long people are able to solve for that, you know, quality issue, I think there will be a market to grow for everyone to coexist. And given this, you know, an MP and again, whatever the pipeline NHAI has, and like, you know, GR got two HAM assets over the last 30 days, I think 1 month. So in our case, if you see, we have 13 assets now plus some third party, maybe acquiring 5-6 more assets. But even after that, we would have a pipeline of almost, you can say, 2 to 15 more assets from GR. And then, of course, you know, the third party also. So I think there's an opportunity. And of course, I think you may see in market, you know, maybe multi-assets in it, where the people will be starting looking at the constraint of the good road assets, people may start looking at the other line of assets also. So I think there will be opportunity to grow, coexist with the other guys. And on the back of what NHAI is coming, we can't, and of course we can't say that, you know, this supply from NHAI can remain muted for a longer time. So of course, this is a cycle. I think we are part of the cycle. The cycle is again will turn, and the opportunity to grow, I don't see any challenge from an InvIT perspective.
Okay. And currently, like, you know, in terms of, let's say, the equity IRRs that you are looking at when you are acquiring these assets, what can that be in terms of a broad range?
See, of course, you know, the IRR is not same. IRR varies asset to asset, depending on the quality, depending on the terrain, depending on the you know, the requirement of that seller, depending on, you know, capital structure. So it's not same. And it varies from, may say, 12% to 13.5%, depending on, you know, how you're able to close it, crack it.
But as far as, I mean, are you, I mean, the new acquisition that we will be doing, especially this year when we are almost doubling up, so can you confirm that these will be like DPU accretive and NAV accretive?
Yes, this has been our investment philosophy that most of the acquisition what we could be DPU accredited for my existing unit holders. So I think that is the philosophy we have, we started with, and we've been able to maintain that.
Okay. In this time, I think the NAV has also increased by 5-6 rupees, if I'm not wrong. So what contributed towards that? Was it majorly interest rate or cost of debt related?
I think I don't think NAV increased by 5-6 rupees. It would have increased by maybe around 1.5-2 rupees, and that's because we added four more assets in last 3 months. So December we acquired one asset, and then we acquired three assets in March. So of course, acquisition of new assets, NAV will get added because it's a yield accretive, right? So that we have been maintaining. I don't think it's increased very high by 5-6 rupees.
Okay. And what is your average cost of debt and marginal cost of debt as of now?
It's given in the presentation. And given the financial thing, average cost has been, basically in the range of 6.9% to 7%. And it is the part of the, I think, the financial statements what we basically, published yesterday.
And it is similar to because of these yield movements, if you were to raise debt today, will it be higher and what it could be?
It will be higher at what levels? We have not closed the levels, so difficult to tell you the levels, but it may be marginally higher.
Understood. Great. Thank you for giving the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Deep Vakil from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Sorry, already answered earlier on the same incremental cost of debt, but I think Amit sir already mentioned it. Thank you. All the best.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Next question comes from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just want to check, are we also looking at any kind of POT assets? Because there's a strong pipeline from NHAI on that. So is that an opportunity that we are exploring?
Yeah, Anand, I think because ecosystem is changing, and if we need to say start looking at the TOT assets, we'll have to start, because that's why we see growth coming up. And I think there's a decent list from NHAI where decent number of TOT assets are there. So I think once we grow to a size, as we have already been maintaining, right? But once we grow to a size, we'll have to start looking at or exploring TOT assets, and we'll start doing that as well.
Okay. So would we be participating in any of the tenders this year itself, or that's something in the pipeline from FY28 onwards?
To be honest, participation is a function of, so if you're saying start evaluating, exploring, answer is yes. Participation will be a function of, basically it will be whether as per our comfort level, as per our assumptions, as per our thought process or not. If something comes in FY27, why not? But yeah, once you grow to a size, then only it makes sense for us to take TOT and all. I think that we've been maintaining. So you can say maybe some in FY27, more maybe evaluating 28 onwards. But it's not that we are shutting for QT in 27.
Okay. And in terms of the non-GR HAM asset pipeline, is that also strong? Like you mentioned that there is one asset that we are looking to acquire on the non-GR side this year, apart from the four that we are acquiring for KNR, which has already been announced. So how is that pipeline, and how is the competition also? Because I think earlier participant also mentioned that there are so many other public and private InvITs and AIFs. So how is that pipeline?
See, that pipeline, of course, you know, it's not that we have a very, very good pipeline. I want to be candid here because, yeah, there's intense competition because of the other people are also evaluating. There's a, and because of a lot of, you know, other InvITs have also come up. But at the same time, as I said, that on the selective pockets, you see opportunity. And you need to build on what you have done earlier. So I think its pipeline is not that great, but yeah, you always keep working, keep evaluating. And so we have evaluated in past a lot of non-GR opportunities. So it's pipeline-wise, like, you know, if you want to get on that AUM game where you have to show non-GR assets, then of course you can add. But whether you want to add those non-GR assets as it is, you know, as an indicative incremental yield, then answer is that then the, you need to be very cautious about the pipeline what you are exploring. So I think for us everything is, it should make sense in terms of, you know, yield accretion. It should make sense for you know, our unit holders. We are not in that war of AUM that I just need to show you AUM at any cost, because otherwise I'll have to face the same question that all the, you know, acquisitions are yield accretive or not. So, you know, that's why we keep yeah, we do see opportunities in some. So, and of course then, like these TOTs and all are non-GRs, right? If we do like, so also are the opportunities for us.
And sir, are the, so GR also has some power assets and some rupees and all that stuff which is in their portfolio. Are these also a part of the ROFO?
See, all the assets are part of ROFO, but basically what we have to see that we have not started evaluating as of now the ROFO all the road asset, but you know, we have not started evaluating any transmission or say ROFO assets of GR, but if say you know, strategy, you know, we think through that, and if there's a requirement, yeah, we may start looking at that as well.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And lastly, sir, congratulations for the, I think the payout has been about 28 rupees in listing, and we still been able to, in fact, better now. So congratulations on the performance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Anand. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rahul Nair from Access Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. I just want clarificatory question. This asset addition guidance of 8,000 crores which you gave, this is over and above the KNR Wala acquisition, right?
No, that includes KNR.
Okay. So 3,000 odd crores of KNR plus another 5,000 crores.
Yeah. So if I just break it up, you can say around 4,200 is non-GR to almost 4,000 crores of the GR.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, we have a follow-up question from Deep Vakil from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, only one point, the 8,000 crore of addition that you just spoke, 4,200 non-GR and 4,000 of GR. So broadly, you mentioned total 5 third-party assets and 5 to 6 GR assets. Is that understanding correct? So broadly around, I mean, some might be 800 odd crores, but broadly in that range, right? 10 assets of 8,000 crores.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
thank
you. All the best. Thanks. Yeah. 10 to 11 assets of 8,000 crores, yeah.
Perfect, okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may press star and one. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, may press star and one. Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participant, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh for closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thanks, Danish, and once again, I thank you all for joining us today and for your continued trust in Indus InfraTrust. We remain committed to the strategic growth and maximizing value for all our unit holders. Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Indus Infra Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.